Chapter 80. I see ghosts, sometimes, Llewellyn whispers, cheek pressed against his back as he leans forward to nudge the fire awake. He can feel her small nails digging, scraping over his skin as they curl into little fists, the flats of her fingers pressing in between scars. Sometimes something happens. I hear a sound, light shines in a certain way, sometimes a candle's fire even just flickers, and then I'm surrounded in ghosts. Does that happen for you?
No, Bull says. You've killed a lot of people, boss.
They were trying to hurt me, Llewellyn replies, her nose pressed against his skin. But I sent people to die. It's different. You've sent people off to die before, Bull.
That's what it means to be in charge. You do what has to be done. You make a decision. You deal with the consequences. And you move on.
Sometimes I see Hawk's face. Her voice catches, levels, empties, makes Bull think of a moored boat, hitting against the dock, trying to pull away, smashing back again. Paint chipping off the sides, creaks in the boards, water leaking in. Slowly bringing the boat down with every strike against the pier. Sometimes I see Hawk's face, and I hear Hawk's dog, and I think of the letters Varric writes, the letters he won't be getting back. Sometimes I see scouts and soldiers I've talked to, their names and their faces. I remember their mothers and sisters, their brothers and their dreams, their children left behind, already gone. He feels her resting against his back, leaning against the slant of him.
"Here's the thing, boss,"
Bull says, letting his eye unfocus. He sees nothing and everything. The world unfocuses. Nothing is clear. Everything is. He is at once not here, somewhere not real at all, and far away inside, and everywhere here. He sees every spark of light from the fire. Hears every ambient sound, and feels every shift of air.
Those people, they died for you. That's responsibility, but they chose it. They knew what they were signing up for. They all knew that this is war, a battle, and no war is won without some kind of loss. It isn't like they didn't know that could happen to them. They were soldiers.
Hawk wasn't a soldier.
Hawk looked in the face of death and chose it. You can't let them haunt you. You can't let the choices of other people haunt you.
I put them there.
You made space for them, and they chose to jump in. You can't let their fall linger.
But it's not their deaths that linger, Bull, she whispers. That's not what their ghosts are. I see a flicker of a candle, and suddenly the scout who taught me how to make marble cake is waving at me. I almost wave back, but then the flicker is over and the scout is dead again. Sometimes the glare of the sun through the window gets into my eye, and I see some of the soldiers from the marshes coming towards me, waving, about to say something. They walk past me after saying hello, and I watch them go down the stairs, but I never see them walk out of the rotunda. I taste coffee with cream, and there's a hand clapping me on the back, telling me I've done well.
He closes his eyes.
I see a certain letter, the letter A or Q, and I think the letter is from the friend of a friend, and I am excited to have someone help me read it, but it turns out to be someone else's letter, A or Q, and the stories don't match up at all. And I get scared because the ghosts are everywhere. Those are the ghosts, I mean. Do you see them?
Yes, Bull replies, as her arms circle around his waist.
He touches his fingertips to the backs of her cold hands.
I see them every time we go to the coast.
They aren't dead.
They would have been, if it were up to me. They would have been.
He feels her squeeze tight against his back. I see their ghosts everywhere, she says. Another smashing of waves against the boat and pier. Another ripple of water entering new cracks. And I miss them.
Don't let them haunt you. You can't let it happen. There are people who are still alive who need you.
Lavellin feels the sloshing of liquid in her stomach. It's hunger, she thinks. Not the real hunger, not yet. Early morning hunger, an in-between hunger. This is familiar. This hunger is her friend. A little edge to nudge her around, keep her on her toes. It's a little hunger, a companion that tinges against all her memories. Like sunlight and grass underneath her bare feet, this hunger is familiar, a friend. It's not like the other hunger, the one that gnaws and pains and makes you dizzy and shake, the one that makes you stop wanting to move, the one that just makes you curl up, hot, then cold, and colder, knees and ankles pressed together until it takes too much effort to do even that. You just lie there, half curled on yourself because it's too much to actually try to hold any position, too much to lock your muscles. That hunger is familiar too, but not her friend. That hunger makes her weak. It means things are bad. It means that someone isn't going to survive. It means that she might not survive. It means that this is the end for something, somewhere. Little pieces of light, broken off a bit at a time, littered through time and Thetis. Winters and autumns too harsh, summers too hot, springs that flood. Lavellin pushes a leaf into her mouth, sucking on the coolness of it. A little stone to break off the edge, chipping off edges a little bit at a time. A little hunger is good, as long as it's kept little. Just like how a candle is good, as long as you don't tip it over and set fire to the building. A little fire, a little blade, a little hunger. Lavellin sucks the leaf in her mouth, feels the rough grain of it on the flat of her tongue, the smooth sheen of it on the roof of her mouth. She twists it around her mouth, tickling at the edge, toying with the stem with her teeth. A friendly hunger. It's maybe the one thing familiar about this entire thing. This sort of poverty.